Muslim tradition emphasized, she further writes, that Constantinople had contaminated the site of the temple and had claimed to inherit its place as God's throne on earth. The building of the Dome of the Rock, the new Temple of Solomon, was thus meant to redeem the Temple of Jerusalem's honor, as of old, against the claims of Constantinople. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, Episode 124, The Rock and the Beit HaMikdash. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. On a wall of a very old mosque near Hebron, in the town of Nuba, one will find an inscription that archaeologists have dated to the 9th or 10th century. According to the reports in newspapers, it reads, in translation as follows, quote, "In the name of Allah, the merciful God, this territory Nuba and all its boundaries and its entire area is an endowment to the rock of Beit al-Maqdis and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, as it was dedicated by the commander of the faithful, Umar ibn al-Khattab, for the sake of Allah the Almighty," end quote. The Rock of Beit al-Maqdis and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Al-Aqsa Mosque, of course, is known to us. This is the mosque that sits on the southern end of the Temple Mount Plaza today. But what is the Rock of Beit al-Maqdis? This can only refer to the Dome of the Rock, which we know as well. And the term Beit al-Maqdis is, of course, an Arabic parallel to a term with which traditional Jews are intimately familiar, the Beit HaMikdash, the term utilized for the temple. And this, in turn, hints to intriguing roots of the edifice that is the Dome of the Rock, revealing something incredibly interesting about the early age of Umayyad Jerusalem. It was in 685 that the ruler of Damascus and Jerusalem became Abd al-Malik, who in turn oversaw the completion of the edifice that to this day so dominates the skyline of Jerusalem. But the meaning of the Dome of the Rock and its purpose is profoundly misunderstood. It is not a mosque, it is a shrine. And the fact that we can see even today media institutions identifying the dome as the Al-Aqsa Mosque reveals the ignorance made manifest by those that report about the site. Al-Aqsa sits on the south of the Temple Mount, in the area that is part of the Herodian extension of the mount. In contrast, the dome sits over the site that for Jews is the holiest on earth, what rabbinic tradition terms the Evan Shetiyah, the foundation stone, where the Holy of Holies was situated when the temple stood, and where, in the Temple of Solomon, the Ark of the Covenant once rested, with the presence of God enthroned above the cherubim. As both rabbinic scholars and archaeologists have argued, the rock within the dome is the bedrock of the site, and what is now seen as a large amount of stone would have once been situated below the floor of the temple, with a bit of it coming out, and the Ark would have rested on that bit of stone. We have cited in previous episodes the description of Muslim traditions in which a man of Jewish origin showed Omar, the conqueror of Jerusalem, the site of the sacred stone, and it was under Abd al-Malik that the dome over that stone was completed. As Simon Sebag Montefiore notes, the edifice's architecture shares resemblances with other well-known structures. Quote, "Its octagonal shape resembles a Christian martyrium. Indeed, its dome echoes those of the Holy Sepulchre and Hagia Sophia in Constantinople. Yet its circular walkways, designed for circumambulation, recall the Kaaba of Mecca," end quote. But the intention of Abd al-Malik in creating this shrine, that is the Dome of the Rock, is discussed to this day. And it is in addressing this question that the two archaeologists we mentioned in our previous episode, Peretz Reuven and Asaf Avraham, turn to the inscription in Nuba and its reference to Beit al-Maqdis. As the Times of Israel tells us, the archaeologists presented their findings at a conference that coincided with the resolution presented by UNESCO that implicitly denied any Jewish connection to the site. In contrast, these archaeologists argued that it was the very creation of the dome that marked this Jewish connection. Quote, "A recently studied inscription from a mosque near Hebron offers insight into how, until the mid-20th century, the Muslim world considered Jerusalem's Dome of the Rock to be the successor to two ancient Jewish shrines that formerly stood atop the Temple Mount. The previously overlooked dedicatory inscription from the Mosque of Umar in Nuba, a village nearly 26 kilometers, 16 miles, southwest of Jerusalem, mentions the village as an endowment for the Dome of the Rock in Al-Aqsa Mosque. But what's striking is that the Dome of the Rock is referred to in the text as the Rock of the Beit al-Maqdis, literally, the Holy Temple, a verbatim translation of the Hebrew term for the Jerusalem Temple that early Muslims employed to refer to Jerusalem," end quote. These archaeologists further pointed out that early traditions describe rituals inside the Dome of the Rock that parallel Judaic ones, and the archaeologists argued that the dome was meant to be an establishment by the Islamic rulers of Jerusalem of what would be a replacement of the temple. In a fascinating article, the National Library of Israel's Milka Levy Rubin built on this research and tells us the following, quote, "Most scholars now agree that the initial motivation behind the Muslim sanctification of the Temple Mount and the building of the Muslim religious monuments on it was the return to the sanctified place of the Jewish temple. Hence the use of terms such as Beit al-Maqdis, a term used for both the temple itself and the city of Jerusalem, and Heikal, Hebrew Heikal, the search for the rock of Beit al-Maqdis and its sanctification in the Muslim tradition regarding the active participation of the Jewish convert Ka'b al-Ahbar, or in a later Jewish tradition, the Jews themselves, in locating the sacred spot. The fact that they were building the temple of God, Naos Theo, is mentioned also by Anastasios the Sionite, a contemporary Christian source writing at the time of the building of the dome. More importantly, in Abd al-Malik's Dome of the Rock, the rituals themselves seem initially to have been related to Jewish temple rituals, including the special attire worn by the performers of the ceremonies, the assignment of a special status to Mondays and Thursdays, days of special importance in Jewish liturgy, purification before the rituals, the mode in which incense was used, the call for prayer, and more. Although this was short-lived, it was nonetheless the obvious reason for choosing the site." End quote. So Milka Levy Rubin writes, and her point is that the dome, in other words, was deliberately meant to invoke and celebrate the site of the temple. But why would Muslim rulers of Jerusalem do this? Levy Rubin's approach is linked to a similarity that we have noted between the Dome of the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople and the Dome of the Rock. The Hagia Sophia was built by the Byzantine rulers of the empire to serve as the greatest church in Christendom. Recall that under the Byzantines, the Temple Mount was left in ruins. In fact, the Hagia Sophia was seen as a replacement for the Temple of Solomon. Thus, an edifice built by an Islamic kingdom on the site of the temple, a temple that the Roman Empire had destroyed and that Byzantium had left in ruins, would allow for the ruler of Damascus and Jerusalem to truly establish competition with Constantinople. Milka Levy Rubin suggests that the incentive in creating the Dome of the Rock, quote, lay in the political and ideological rivalry with Constantinople that was at its peak during that period. This rivalry drove Abd al-Malik to build a monument that would outdo those of Constantinople, and especially that of the Hagia Sophia. Muslim tradition emphasized, she further writes, that Constantinople had contaminated the site of the temple and had claimed to inherit its place as God's throne on earth. The building of the Dome of the Rock, the new Temple of Solomon, was thus meant to redeem the Temple of Jerusalem's honor, as of old, against the claims of Constantinople, end quote. So Milka Levy further tells us. The dome, in other words, according to Levy Rubin, was certainly not created as a site for Jewish worship, but it was built, literally and figuratively, on the rich Jewish history of the site and in acknowledgement of it. I think it's with this in mind that we can approach the fact that, as scholars have noted, the Dome of the Rock was utilized as a symbol of the site of the temple in Hebrew books of Jews. Thus, I have sent you a link to an image from Sotheby's showing us a Passover Haggadah printed in Venice in the 16th century. There we see an image of the Dome of the Rock on which is emblazoned in Hebrew the words Beit HaMikdash. The point, of course, is not that Jews thought that the temple looked like the dome. They well understood that it did not. But rather, that they knew perhaps that the creation of the dome was itself meant to serve as a reminder of the existence of the temple, of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Beit HaMikdash. It was a reminder that even the ruling powers in the Holy Land understood all the glory that the people of Israel had brought to that site with the temple designed by David, established by Solomon, and established again in the age of Haggai and Ezra and Nehemiah. Given all this, of course, it is therefore so striking that there are those who propagandize today by denying the basic historical fact that the Jewish temple once sat on that site. As Nadav Shragai writes, because of, quote, the dispute on this issue and the resolutions hostile to Israel in the international arena, end quote, it is therefore, he argues, quote, worth presenting the primary Muslim documentation and sources for the Jewish connection to Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, and the temple, end quote. Shragai notes today that even though the Waqf has denied the origins of the temple itself, at the same time, we have pictures of the pamphlet that was once given out in the 1920s to those visiting the Dome of the Rock. We have sent you a link to Shragai's piece with the picture, in which we can see that the pamphlet that was given out by those overseeing the dome stated, quote, the two principal edifices are the Dome of the Rock on a raised platform in the middle and the Mosque of Al-Aqsa against the south wall. Other buildings, which we shall consider later, lie dotted about here and there. On the left, along the east wall, the double portals of the Golden Gate appear. On every side, trees break the prospect, which lend a peculiar charm to the scene. The site is one of the oldest in the world, and the pamphlet goes on. Its sanctity states from the earliest, perhaps from prehistoric times. Its identity with the site of Solomon's temple is beyond dispute. This, too, is the spot, according to universal belief, on which David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, end quote. So the pamphlet stated. The site of the rock is the site of the Beit HaMikdash, and we owe it to Jerusalem and to our ancestors to remember the Beit HaMikdash, to remember that both Jews and non-Jews remembered the Beit HaMikdash, and to ensure that the Beit HaMikdash is never forgotten. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.